Let's read together Isaiah chapter 12. In this chapter, we have a hymn of praise, which is a fitting conclusion to chapters 7 through 11, a section of Isaiah which emphasizes the coming of the Messiah and the blessings of his earthly kingdom. Isaiah chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 12, with some background notes. In Isaiah chapter 6, we had the call and commission of the prophet Isaiah. Then in chapters 7 through 11, we had a wonderful section of Isaiah about the coming of the Messiah and his earthly kingdom. In fact, in both Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9, we have two of the outstanding messianic prophetic passages of Scripture. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. In Isaiah chapter 11, we had a description of the Messiah's wonderful future kingdom of peace and blessing. It was in great contrast to the earthly kingdoms of Isaiah's day, which would come under God's judgment. Both the northern kingdom of Israel, as we saw in Isaiah chapter 9, and the whole Assyrian Empire, as we saw in Isaiah chapter 10. The Messiah's kingdom would be a kingdom of righteousness and justice, and it would be a kingdom of such peace that the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. And Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 9 make it clear that the coming kingdom of the Messiah is an earthly kingdom. Now, the big question, of course, is when is this predicted earthly kingdom? Is it now? That is the church the predicted kingdom? Well, if it is, then everything must be spiritualized, as we mentioned in our last talk. The wolf and the lamb and the leopards and the goats and the lions and the bears and the cows and the snakes must be spiritualized and made figurative for people of all different personalities and characteristics getting along in the church. We don't believe that is the right interpretation of Isaiah chapter 11, as we've mentioned. Now, if you want to stay literal with the passage, you essentially have two options. Option number one. It is a literal description of the eternal state in the future. However, the rest of Scripture would overwhelmingly indicate that in the eternal state, children are not going to be playing by the holes of cobras and putting their hands in the dens of vipers, as we have in verse 8. So we believe option number two, The number two literal option is the right interpretation of this passage. That is, Isaiah chapter 11 is a literal description of the literal kingdom that our Lord Jesus will set up here on this earth in the future when he returns in his second coming to this earth. This kingdom will last for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20, and will merge with eternity. In this wonderful millennial kingdom of worldwide peace and righteousness, the wolf will literally lie down with the lamb, and snakes literally will not be harmful. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, verse 9. And nations will not be at war anymore, but submissive to the authority of Christ as king, verse 10. What a wonderful time that will be. No wonder chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 12, is a hymn of praise and a fitting conclusion to this section of Isaiah. Notice that this hymn of praise is in two stanzas, verses 1 through 3 and verses 4 through 6. Stanza 1 starts with, "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me." Verse 1. And stanza number 2 starts with, in verse 4, "And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted." Verse 4. Stanza 1 closes with verse 3. "Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Verse 3. And stanza 2 closes, obviously, with verse 6. "Cry out and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." Verse 6. Now let's look at this hymn of praise in a little more detail under our doctrinal points. So doctrinal point number 1. In that day, Israel's praise to the Lord will finally be realized. In that day, Israel's praise to the Lord will finally be realized. We've mentioned before that the phrase "in that day" in the prophets, and especially Isaiah, so often refers to the end times, either the judgments of the tribulation period or the blessings of the millennium. Here, the future millennial kingdom of Christ is in view, as we've discussed. Now, who is the you of this chapter? Verse 1. "And in that day you will say," and verse 3, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation," and verse 4, "And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name," and in verse 6, "For great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." So who is the you and the your in this chapter? In context, clearly, the you is the Jewish people. They are the audience that Isaiah is addressing. They are the inhabitants of Zion. The beginning of verse 6. "Cry out and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion." And they are the Israel mentioned in the last part of verse 6. "For great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." So in context, the you is Israel, not the church. The church is not the new Israel. The church is the body and bride of Christ. But the church has not replaced Israel. God still has a plan and program for the Jewish people. Right now, Israel as God's people has only been temporarily set aside until they turn back to the Lord. But many Jews will turn back to the Lord and accept Jesus as their Messiah before the Lord returns. Read Romans chapter 11 in this connection. Here in Isaiah chapter 12, we have a hymn of praise that this future godly remnant of Jews will sing to the Lord when the Lord returns. They will give thanks to the Lord that their many long years of experiencing God's heavy hand of discipline is over. Notice verse 1 there, "Your anger is turned away and you comfort me." Think of all the trials and tribulations that God has allowed the Jewish people to experience down through 2,000 years of history to cause them to turn back to the God of their salvation and to the Messiah they once rejected. In that coming day, Israel will thank the Lord for his salvation and strength and comfort and excellence. They will trust and not have to be afraid anymore. They will not have to be afraid of anti-Semitism. They will not have to be afraid of pogroms. They will not have to be afraid of death camps. They will be joyful and praise the Lord in song. And they will finally be the light to the Gentiles that they were meant to be. And they will tell forth to the nations the greatness of the Holy One of Israel in their midst. Right now, Israel is only a secular state with Jews returning to the land. But in that day, there will be a significant godly remnant that returns to the Lord. In that day, Israel's praise to the Lord will finally be realized. Doctrinal point number two. In this day, Israel's praise to the Lord can always be applied. In this day, Israel's praise to the Lord can always be applied. Isaiah chapter 12, in context, concerns the praise of restored Israel in the future, as we've seen. Well, does this hymn of praise have any application for the Christian today? Yes, of course it does. We can always find present-day application from prophetic scripture. As Israel will praise the Lord in the future for his salvation and strength and comfort and greatness and goodness and excellence, so we can praise the Lord for all of these things now. And we can teach our children and grandchildren to sing God's praises because he is so good and he is so great. I remember as a child, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 was one of the first verses I memorized. I will trust and not be afraid, Isaiah 12, 2. And as Israel in the future will make the mighty deeds of the Lord known throughout the earth, as we see in verses 4 and 5, so we should now let the world know what God has done in providing salvation for anyone who will receive Christ by faith. In this day, Israel's praise to the Lord can be applied. Now, what about practical application from Isaiah chapter 12? Let's draw water from the wells of salvation. Let's draw water from the wells of salvation. In John chapter 4 and verse 10, the Lord referred to salvation as living water. Only living water can quench the thirst of the soul. Here in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, we see that the spiritual thirst of Israel will be satisfied as they joy in God's wonderful salvation. Look at verse 3 once again. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Let me ask you, are you spiritually satisfied right now as a believer? Or is your soul thirsty? Oh, you know you're saved. But you must confess that you're trying to find satisfaction in the empty cisterns of this world. Listen, we need to constantly remember and rethink all that the Lord has done for us in saving us, and then with joy draw water from the wells of salvation. Let's draw water from the wells of salvation.